exalted over all, and I bow before your throne to worship you. Lord, you are, Lord, you are.
Tonight. That's what the bride of Jesus Christ is desiring. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He is so good. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we indeed are a privileged people tonight as we all stand here, O God, in your presence. For Lord, you've called each one to you, and you cherish each one special as a jewel, Lord, in your crown. Each one a chosen member of your body. Each one imparted with your life and faith, Lord. Lord, I pray that you open up our eyes. Help us see us as you see us, Lord. Then I know whatever the devil puts before us, we know that we can withstand. But you have declared it, O God. You declared it in your word. We stand perfect before you. And we must never lose sight of that, never doubt that, Lord. So I pray, Father, and not just here, but those online, I pray, Lord, that you would just raise our faith up. I pray, Lord, that in our vision of you, Father, just materialize so real that we can just bask in your presence, that we can exalt you from our very depths of our heart and soul. Grant it, Lord. Father, bless the service. Take full control. Glorify yourself, Father, we pray. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see you all. Praise God. While you are standing, if you would pick up your Bibles, and we might as well just go right into it. Thank you, musicians. Thank you so much for your service. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. I enjoyed that. And listening in there, I got the best seat. For listening to the music, I can hear everybody, and it's wonderful. Praise God. Really, really, truly blessed. Amen. Romans 12:1 and 12:2. This is a very, very familiar scripture to us all. Praise God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 3, 4, 5, 13 through 16 inclusive. 1 Peter 1. Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope in the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It's our manner of life, our lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you. This is your word. Father, break to us the bread of life. We humbly ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are called to be holy. So what does that mean? And what does that look like? And we know that often it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I'd like to deal with just one of those foxes tonight, and it's called temptation. But before I deal with that, I'd like to just lay a little foundation first. Be holy. Brother Branham makes a statement, and I want to be very clear on this too. So as I'm speaking of this, please keep this in mind. Paragraph 54b, he makes a statement in It Wasn't So from the Beginning. He says, you believe in sanctification, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, you cannot be holy. I'm not looking, you know, and that sounds like it's a contradiction in the Bible, okay? But what he's saying is you cannot be holy in yourself. Amen? He explains, I'm not depending on my holiness. I have none, but I'm depending on his holiness. It's his holiness that I'm looking at, not what I was, but what he is. That's it. So it's what we're looking at that is holy, and what we're beholding that is holy. And because he took our place completely, that is then therefore transferred on us, his holiness. Amen. We stand in his stead as holy. Amen. So holiness is an identification that we have already in Christ Jesus. We are in his image, as it were. Amen. And who we are is made conformable to his image day by day. Okay, now while this outside flesh here does not inherit eternal life, amen, it doesn't inherit it at all, but however, our outside flesh becomes conformable, if you would, but that which is on the inside. Because he's done a work inside here, it cleans up our spirit, and then our spirit has an effect on our outside, and it has an effect to where, amen, we become more in reflecting that image. Amen. So praise the Lord. We don't go around, you know, look like biker gangs. Amen. If we were there, praise God. And we can have that tattoos of that former life and so forth. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But he is the health of our countenance. Amen. that the grace of God is upon us and he radiates himself in our life as we behold him. Amen? He does a work of grace in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Amen. So everything about us should reflect his grace. The grace that he gives, amen, and the work of the Lord in our lives each day. Praise the Lord. So, and it isn't that we are continually buzzing with the Holy Ghost in us, okay? And you might experience that, and I know we all have time off and on, and we're very grateful, so grateful for those experiences, amen? But it isn't based on that. His presence and power is with us whether we feel him or not. Amen? And we may go through dry spells at times. And some of you may even be going through a dry spell right now. I do not know. But see, everything that happens to us is for a purpose. And it goes through and it tests us. How are we going to respond by the different things that we experience? Amen? Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ is going to be tested. Just, you know, buck up. It's going to happen. Amen? Amen? So are we going to hold to God's word regardless? Or are we going to crumble in despair? See, and that's the thing that the Lord tests us with. He says, if you faint in the day of your trial, he says, I will take no pleasure in you. You know, you think about that. I'll take no pleasure. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that you're lost. It's just that because we didn't hold to his word, we didn't bring any glory to him. See, the whole thing is to be able to hold to his word regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you see, because his word, he said, will not come to him void. Amen. It will absolutely accomplish what he said, sent it forth to do, and he wants us to hold to it, to believe him, to take him at his word, regardless of anything else. Amen. Are we clear on that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham makes a statement. It wasn't so from the beginning. I just feel so full of the Holy Ghost tonight. I just feel like bubbling over. Oh, I wish it would stay this away. May it never leave. That's very telling, isn't it? Even Brother Branham does not feel his presence all the time. As close as he walked with him, as much as he fasted, as much as he prayed, amen. He's had plenty of mountaintop experiences. He experienced his presence many, many, many times, but it isn't a continual sensation. Amen. That's the thing to take away there. Praise the Lord. Which is also true, another thing, Brother Branham said, we backslide many times a day. Think about that. As much as we try to keep our minds on Christ, right? We're also in this world. Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of it. And we're driving down the road, right? We're getting assaulted by a lot of things, billboards, people jockeying, people getting impatient, right? You're driving too slow. Get over, old man, you know. I'm in the right-hand lane. Get in the shoulder, you know. You know, it's hard, you know, and you know, you're dealing with kids. You're dealing with a lot of things. You know, you're spinning many plates. You got a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes the things that we want aren't necessarily coming together as we want to do. So we're you know, we can be stressed. We don't necessarily feel the presence of God when a number of things aren't coming together. This is all trials. These are all temptations that the Lord allows us to go through. Amen. But he does want us to put our care on him. Wherever we are. Amen. Let's not be stressed. That's that stress point that you feel right there, that's his test. That's the test. Even though you don't feel his presence, he cares about every aspect of our lives. Amen? We're getting home soon. We're getting close to the final exam, if you would. And this is why the Lord has laid this on my heart. We see so many things happening right now all around us. Amen? And we don't want to slip. We know that the Lord is keeping us. Amen? But I believe God is shouting out to us and say, hang on. Like Brother Branham's voice screaming to the bride in procession, get in line, get in line. Do you remember that? I feel the Spirit of God just hovering over us, saying, get in line. Believe me, take me at my word. My word was sent forth. It will accomplish that thing wherein I have purposed. It will prosper in that thing wherein I have sent it to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the greatest battle we know that takes place, again, is right here in our minds. And we know, too, that character is not a gift, right? It is a victory. It is a victory. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, calling upon his name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Got to read another quote here. This is very good. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says this. He says, we know that we're all guilty, every one of us. There's none of us perfected. As long as we're in this body, no matter how much the people try to tell, I've got sanctified, you can kiss this woman or do that, he's a lying, you cannot, now that's all. Oh. So there's something in ourselves in this walk, we've got to put guards around us, okay? That's why we don't hug sisters, brothers, right? We shake their hand. That's why brothers hug brothers, sisters hug sisters. We put these guards up. Why is that? Because we're in these bodies. Amen? He says, I don't try to say, Lord, let me see how close I can go. It's, Lord, keep me as far away as I can get. See, just stay as far away. Remember, you are still a human being. See? Amen? And that's paragraph 203. I'm going to drop down to paragraph 206. Because this pertains to what we're talking about here. He says, but being you're living here in this world here, there's traps set for you everywhere, and you're walking with your eyes on Christ. And remember that when you make a mistake, a real Christian will always come back quickly for reconciliation. Amen? Our strength is the Word of God. Our strength is his promise and his love to us, so that even when I make a mistake, I can come, I can humble myself with a contrite heart, and I can repent knowing fully that he will forgive me. Amen? And he can restore me again, and that his blood will wash me, and I will be justified again just like I never done it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham says this, we have the earnest, right? The Holy Ghost. Got the Holy Ghost? Amen. There it is. Now we are not past temptation. Neither are we above sin. Amen. That's Brother Branham. I'm just so thankful how he just brings it right back to the Word and just stays right true right there. There's a number of scriptures that come to mind right here. We're not past temptation, neither are we above sin, but Jesus will help us in every temptation. And now when I do wrong, I'm ready to repent. Anyone else is what wants to live right with God. You don't desire to do wrong, but when Satan upsets you somewhere, because there is an atonement waiting for me if I confess my wrong, God's just to forgive it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I got to drop another quote in here. This is just beautiful. How happy I am. He says, when you're really badly tempted on something. Let that soak in. Really badly tempted on something. If you'll just make Jesus your refuge, this is a key, young men, particular guys, amen, children, praise the Lord. When you're really badly tempted on something, if you'll just make Jesus your refuge and shut your eyes and pass right by it, it will be the sweetest experience that you've ever went through. I mean, that's just it. Yeah, there's more to be said about this. Stay with me. Are you all okay? Doing all right? If you would, why don't you open up your Bibles and you can follow along with me. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness of revenge to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. So we don't walk after the flesh, and we don't war after the flesh. We war by the Spirit of God. Amen. We can't perfect ourselves with our flesh. And that's the point. You cannot fight with your flesh. Our weapons are not carnal. Praise God. Amen. And so we absolutely use the Spirit of God to fight against everything that the devil tries to throw at us. And it doesn't matter what he throws at us. Now think about that. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Doesn't matter what that stronghold is. Doesn't matter what government is wielding it. Amen. It doesn't matter what strongholds would be in our life. Our weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's where it is, being obedient to him. In every way, being obedient to Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. When we yield ourselves to the Lord, and we, as much as we possibly can, say, Lord, I've done everything I've known to do. I lay this down at your feet. And I've obeyed. I believe you, Lord. I take you at your word. The Bible says that he will revenge. He will take you, go after the devil, if you would, on your behalf. Amen. He'll wrought a great victory in your life, in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we don't make his grace a disgrace, right? By living any manner of life and giving over to the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Nor do we overcome through some legalistic discipline. That's very key. But by repenting, looking straight to the cross of Christ and yielding ourselves in his spirit. To his spirit. Amen. The difference here is what you're looking to, right? Are you looking to your worthiness or unworthiness? Or are you looking to Him, to His worthiness? Amen. We don't look to our own selves. Bottom line, we don't look to our own holiness. We don't have any in ourselves. We look to Christ. And we daily eat at His table, consuming His word. Amen. We become the word as we eat the word, right? We give the Holy Spirit something to work with. And the word is also a seed. We plant the word inside of our hearts. And the Holy Ghost is something to quicken. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now Solomon did just the opposite. Let's turn, if we would, to Ecclesiastes 1:17. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. 1:17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of the spirit. Go to the second chapter, third verse. It says this: I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do after that they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So he gave himself over basically to whatever his flesh was, whatever he desired. Amen. It says in Ecclesiastes 2:10, he says, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not them from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, any pleasure, if you would. He just gave himself over completely to them. He says, but yet I retain my wisdom. Okay? And listen, in the end of it, I love his conclusion at the end. He sums it up this way, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's a good word. But I wonder how he retained his wisdom. The Bible also says, 1 Kings 11:6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Verse 8, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. We later read how that God was angry with them and he had to take his kingdom away. He says, but not in your life, in your son's life. So his son lost the kingdom because of what Solomon did. It was set up, and it came to pass exactly that. Exactly that. Job says, 28:28, he says unto him, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. We read that Solomon departed from the Lord. He did evil. So where was his wisdom? He says, I retain my wisdom. No, he didn't. It shows you that the heart is deceitful above else, desperately wicked, and who can know it? We are no match for Satan. Solomon proved he was no match for Satan. He thought he had all this wisdom. Our wisdom only comes when we submit it to God. Our wisdom only comes when we receive from him. Amen? And what he gives us. So I got a question. Is it sin to be tempted? No, it's not sin to be tempted. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Praise the Lord. No, we're all going to be tempted. It's what we do with that temptation that matters. We are all tempted. And when I say tempted, what we're talking about here, it's not just moral, but it's any test that comes our way that causes us to relinquish our faith in God and in his word. That's where the failure is, if we were to do that. Amen? It's not that the temptation comes. Are we going to hold to his word, regardless of what happens? Are we going to avoid that one moral testing, whatever's before us? Are we going to stop and listen like Eve did? Are we going to say no? Amen? Praise the Lord. That is what the Lord is asking. That is what the Lord says. He says this, Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, which is after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Amen. So when we are tested, we're not to cast away our confidence. We have confidence in the word of God. Amen. We stand fast. We stand resolute. Amen. Regardless of the temptation, we stand. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for talking about Jesus, this is what it says about him. It says, "But in that he was touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Amen. So just because you're tempted, that doesn't mean you're a sin. Just because you feel a draw in your flesh, well, guess what? You still have your flesh. You might feel pulls here, there. This flesh is not redeemed. I believe through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Ghost, he's blunted that. Amen? But Satan is going to do everything he can to resurrect this old man. That's why Paul says, "I die daily." Every day you got to die. Amen? Praise the Lord. It is a spiritual battle that we engage in every day. Every day. James 1:14 says this, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Aren't you glad for that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Skipping over. That's what it's about. It's a battle. Every day is a battle. Every day, you and I, we are tempted. Amen. And just because we're tempted, that doesn't mean that we are abject failures or something strange is going on here. I shouldn't even be bothered by this. Why is this a temptation? Well, that's just it. He's just making sure everything is battened down. There aren't anything loose at all. We're getting tested. We're getting tempted. In every way, we're going to get tested. There's some things that you're tested right now. God didn't even let you have it. You weren't ready for it yet. But as you test and you pass one test after another, expect those tests to get harder. Amen? Why is that? He is equipping us. He is building us up. He's allowing these things to happen. Why is that? Because Brother Branham said about the bride of Jesus Christ, that the Lord is proving to Satan that the bride is not like Eve. She's not that kind of a woman. Amen? She has the resiliency. She can stand. She's not standing in her own abilities. She's looking to the promise. She has confidence in her bridegroom. Amen? And she keeps her eyes on him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 8:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Goes along with, "I die daily." Putting your body under subjection. You don't give yourself over to fleshly lusts. You buck up against those things. You cast them down through the blood of Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. These are all very, very common scriptures to us. Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." You know, that's a good one. Brother Branham, one time, he had, when he went to Finland, and that's the place where that boy was raised from the dead. I listened to it here just yesterday. It's just marvelous. Honestly, it just brings the glory of God down when you hear the power of God, the reality of God, his faithfulness. But he was talking about those people. He says they were such humble people, very, very few cars, because they couldn't afford them. They were recovering from the war, and they were just, a lot of ways, they were desperate people, and they were God-fearing people. They had to, because their needs were so great. They looked to the Lord. And so prosperity does devastation to our faith, whether we care to admit it or not. Softness, riches, easy living is the greatest assault to our faith. It really, truly is. Praise the Lord. Amen. And one other thing that Brother Branham said. He said that Satan has got one punch coming to us all. He says, whatever that is, and whatever area that you have in your life may not be the area that it is in my life that I have to keep covered up. Amen. And Brother Branham told this story. He alluded to it earlier. You heard the story about the driver, right? You want to do a driver to go through this pass through the mountain. And they asked driver number one, you know, how close can you get to the edge without falling over? He says, within 4 inches. He says that the second driver, the first driver was a foot. And the next always, he says, I can get it within 4 inches. And the third driver, how about you? He says, I don't. I stick to the side of the mountain as close as I can, as farthest away from that edge as possible. He says, you're hired. You're the man, right? And so Brother Branham, he said, the edge, the drop-off point, he says, that's the world. And on the other side of the road and the part that goes high up over on the right-hand side, he says, that's the Word of God. He says, and that's what we want to do. We want to stay away from the things of the world. We want to hold to the Word of God. Amen. And therein is our safety. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So the thing is, we don't want to venture to an area that we are particularly weak in, whatever that is. The Bible says that every heart knows its own bitterness, okay? Every heart knows its own weakness. You know what your weakness is. Amen? I know what mine is, right? So we got to keep those things covered up. And You know, I'll just share with you just one that I had particular trouble years ago. I love sports. And if you like sports, I'm not. But for me, I found I was reading the newspaper too late in my job. It was getting beyond the point. It was troublesome. So what I did is I made, if you would, a pact with the Lord that I wouldn't read a newspaper anymore. That's what I did. And I walked away from sports altogether. Now I could care less about it. So what is that? I obeyed the Lord over here. This was troublesome to me. No, someone else could probably do that, and it's not a big deal to them. But for me, it was an area that I had to watch. So I purposed in my heart, Lord, I will not do this. Okay? I will vow, if you would, not to read a newspaper. And I didn't. I walked away. Problem resolved, and even the love or care of sports was also taken out of my heart, which was a side benefit, I think. You know, I do. You know, we're getting late, folks, you know. The things that are really essential in life, you know, these other things just kind of shake off of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was talking one time to a brother. And this brother, he got down and discouraged, okay? He'd not smoked in years, okay? And because he was down and discouraged one time, he was walking along the path. And sure, you know exactly what happened. There was a pack of cigarettes, almost a full pack, laying right there at his, you know, right before him. It, right then, it was a temptation for the brother. Now think about this. You're tempted with something, and the thing, the area of weakness, Satan will make sure that whatever that area of weakness is, you're going to run smack into it. I've never run into a fallen pack of cigarettes in my life, right? I've not done it. That's not my area of weakness, okay? But it was for him, and Satan saw to it that he ran into it. And you know how it is that Satan, you know, plays with your mind. He says, oh, just take one, take a puff, and you can just throw it away. And then pretty soon you finish that cigarette. It says, I'll just do the whole cigarette, and then I'll throw the pack away, right? Pretty soon you find yourself smoking the whole thing. But that's what it is. You give in just a little bit, and you start the slide, and pretty soon you can't help yourself anymore. And that's how temptation works. So that what you have to do is you've got to guard yourself. When you're sorely, sorely tempted, amen, you've got to guard yourself and say, I'm not going to go there. I'm going over here, right? Keep your eye on Christ. It never works by avoiding something. That doesn't work. You need something else counter, and that counter is Christ. You go to him, amen, and then you forsake this behind you, and you walk away in faith, and you watch that victory come solid in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So that's what Satan does. Then the condemnation steps in. For the brother, it was smoking. Okay? But there's lots of areas. It's not just cigarettes. There's alcohol, gambling, pornography, unhealthy, questionable relationships. You know, things that you shouldn't be involved in whatsoever. Unrealistic romance novels. Internet cruising. Forever Facebooking. Unhealthy eating. A juicy morsel tidbit of gossip. Right? These are all things that erode us. Amen? The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. You overstep that one line and you're caught. Okay? You don't have to be stuck there. You don't have to be stuck there. You may have to make a vow yourself, whatever that is. Just like me, you have to make a vow. You have to make a determination. He'll help you, but you have to determine in your heart, whatever that area of weakness is where you have a tendency to fall, to avoid that. See, I won't go there anymore. God, you help me. I don't mean to do this. Humble yourself in the sight of God with humility. Amen. With repentance. Amen. With a broken spirit. And he will lift you up. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. None of these things that Satan offers, they say it's pleasant for a season, but very small season. It doesn't satisfy. And that's the thing to realize. It's like a thirsty man drinking ocean water. The more you drink, the more thirstier you become, and it doesn't satisfy. And you want more, and you want more. And before you know it, it destroys you on the inside. But you're one of his. Forever get it in your mind. Whatever Satan is offering, no matter how appealing, there's a hook in it. Walk away from it. Say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I am blood bought, washed, son of God, daughter of God. I'll have nothing to do with what you're offering me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when he dangles a temptation, get violent with it, tear it up, or turn and flee from it. The Bible doesn't say confront temptation, does it? Or hang around temptation. It says flee from temptation. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Speaking of the heart, Psalm 66, 18 through 20 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if we're nursing something, I didn't give into it, but I'm still thinking about it, okay? I didn't do it, but boy, I sure want to. And I'm thinking about, I might give into it a little bit later. Can you see that tussle, that thing, you know? That's what the devil does. And while we're in that state, while we have a desire to nurse whatever it is, I didn't say anything about it this time, but boy, maybe next time I'm going to tell what so-and-so did, right? Whatever it is, amen, while we have it there, the Bible says the Lord will not hear us. Think about it. But if we take it and we confess it to the Lord, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Take this from my heart. I don't want this. This is wrong. We know it's an affront to your character and to your love. Take it from me, Lord. I don't want anything to do with it. In a humble spirit, a contrite heart, the Lord will not refuse, and he will pour out wonderful mercy. Amen. And he will release you from that which Satan has. He will rebuke the devil for your sake, and you will be free. 19th verse says, for verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. And we know that the zeal of this age is what? To repent. Exactly right. To repent. Can you see? Amen. As the musicians come, I want to reprise an earlier quote. And young people especially, listen to this. When you're really badly tempted on something, If you just make Jesus your refuge, shut your eyes and pass right by it, it'll be the sweetest experience that you'll ever went through. Amen? In other words, 4:7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of God. Okay? Amen. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there is no temptation taken you. Honey, let's do a clean, create me a clean heart. 5:39. He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. These aren't just happenstances. God is allowing this, but he won't allow you anything that you can't handle through him. Through him. Amen? So when he gives you a way of escape, take it. Amen? It's a good word for all of us. Take his way. Praise the Lord. Can we all stand to our feet? Amen. 5:39. In your only songbook here. Only believe.
And renew a right spirit within.
keep playing. Amen. Does anybody here need prayer, or the Lord is with us? Amen. Anybody here would like us to pray for them on anything? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to do something, okay? I want us all to bow our heads, and I will join you too. And I want anybody who's got something in their heart that they want to give to the Lord, okay, with all of our heads bowed, all our eyes closed, and just raise it up. Say, Lord, I've got something in my life that it just bothers me, Lord. I don't want to have this thing, Lord, in my life. I know it is displeasing, Lord, to you. It's taken away my faith, my confidence that I have, knowing that when I ask, I don't have the confidence I need to have, Father. Lord, would you please, you who is rich in mercy, Lord, please take this away. Whatever it is, Lord, would you raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, please take it. Amen. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I know, Lord, we're coming to the end here. We're coming so very close, Father. And you know, Lord, what we have need of, oh God. And we want to cross that finish line. When we hear that summons, come higher, Lord. We heard it in the Spirit, and we're feeding on the manna, Lord, for this day. But we don't want any blemish. We don't want to find anything, Lord, that have us anchored down in any way. So that when you bid us to come up for real, in actuality, oh God, nothing is going to hinder that. Lord, we just want to give it over to you right now. See the hands, Lord. You know the heart, Father. We know the heart is desperately wicked, and even there might be something where they're hanging on to it. Even there in their heart, while they're trying to give it up, there's something in the heart that's holding. Father, I pray, release it in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, oh God. Please have mercy, Lord. Have your way, Father. Have your way in each heart. Have your way in each life. May we all, Lord, clearly reflect you. Help us, oh God, to be witnesses and a testimony. May our lives reflect that your word is true and that you are yea and amen, and everything in you is yea and amen. Help us, Lord, to that end. Grant it, Father. Grant it, Lord. Father, we ask all of this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Spirit within me, again to him. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, Lord. And renew a right spirit within. Joy of thy salvation. and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your grace given to us. We pray, Lord, that you just help us now, Father. We know, Lord, that you're faithful. You're faithful to your word above all. And you're faithful to them who hold to your word as we do, Lord. We hold to your word. And we didn't come on our own volition. We came because you called us, each one. Pray, Lord, that anything that was said that's an encouragement, oh God, tonight, I pray, Lord, that you just may it sink into our hearts and may us propel us ever further down your way, Lord, down the road of faith. Grant it, Lord. Father, we ask that you would do it. We pray and ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You're dismissed.